This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Today, WikiLeaks begins its release of 5,000 emails documenting the private lives and private lies of private spies. Over the last 10 years, the private intelligence industry has boomed in the United States and in other countries and is now a real factor in world affairs. But with its growth, there has not been a commensurate growth in accountability mechanisms that should be investigating and controlling these organizations, like the controls that are placed on, believe it or not, there are some, on government intelligence organizations and military intelligence organizations. This particular release concerns a US company, Stratfor, which describes itself as a global intelligence organization. Internally, it describes that its goal is to be the number one intelligence organization in the world and to teach US intelligence agencies how to become like them.
That is Julian Assange, the editor-in-chief at WikiLeaks, announcing the first batch from a treasure trove of 5 million emails hacked from the private intelligence agency Stratfor. Stratfor is based in Texas. It hires senior U.S. intelligence agents and draws up plans for the American Air Force and Marines and big corporations. Stratfor publishes a newsletter costing thousands of dollars with 300,000 subscribers, many of them in governments around the world. According to the emails, the company also holds private consultations and undertakes spying operations, even subversion, of public interest and political groups on behalf of major corporations. For example, Stratfor was hired by Coca-Cola Company to investigate PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and their operations in Canada. The soft drinks company was a major sponsor for the Vancouver 2010 Olympics and feared actions against Canada's seal hunt. As a measure of the compromise of government secrets available to private intelligence agencies, Stratfor emails suggest the company would use full access to FBI files on PETA, who have been labeled terrorists for the convenience of the massive American pharmaceutical industry. The company brags about its possession of top-secret classified American documents, including information on drone strikes and materials from Osama bin Laden's safe house. We await the investigation and prosecution of Stratfor for these breaches of American law and others. Instead, the email shows a close collusion between several government agencies and Stratfor in a campaign to capture and jail Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. Stratfor's Vice President for Counterterrorism and Corporate Security, Fred Burton, is a former Deputy Chief of the Department of State's Counterterrorism Division for the Diplomatic Security Service. WikiLeaks has found a secret email from early 2011 from Burton saying a sealed indictment against Julian Assange has already been issued by a secret grand jury in the United States. In expletive-laced emails, Burton plots with others to bankrupt Assange, to have his Australian citizenship revoked, to have Assange extradited to the U.S. for a lengthy prison term, if not for life. Julian Assange has been held in Britain for more than a year, waiting on a case for extradition to Sweden on sex charges, which even Stratfor employees, according to the released emails, do not believe. I'm Alex Smith. Today on Radio EcoShock, you will hear about the brave new world of the privatization of intelligence services, global corruption, and abuse of media for propaganda, big corporations, and private gain. This whole program lets you hear what mainstream media fails to deliver. You can hear critical excerpts from a media press conference in London, February 27, 2012. The hackers group Anonymous got into 5 million emails of Stratfor, where security was ridiculously lax. They delivered the whole batch to WikiLeaks, who organized a team of more than 25 world media outlets to analyze the mountains of information. The press conference featured journalists from the U.S., Britain, Italy, Spain, and Lebanon. Also presenting were the media activist group The Yes Men and U.K. charities representing the victims of the 1984 Bhopal pesticide horror. They were all spied on by Stratfor on behalf of the Dow Chemical Company, current owners of the still poisonous Bhopal site in India. You need to understand how corporations and big governments team up against their own citizens to preserve the rights and the profits of the 1%. Before we hear the other activists and journalists, let's get back to the opening remarks by Julian Assange of WikiLeaks.
On the surface, Stratfor presents itself as something else. While it always started out as a private intelligence organization, it has erected a cover that it is simply a provider of intelligence publications, yes, to government and to military organizations, but also to private organizations and even universities. But the global intelligence files reveal that its roots as a private intelligence organization are strong and are not being dispensed with in any manner whatsoever. In fact, when we look at the accounting data from this organization, we can see that historically, the majority of its income has come from its private clients. Who are those private clients? Well, yes, they include oil companies, the US Air Force, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Bank of America, and so on. But they also include the US Marines, which Stratfor states that it is preparing the forecast for, the three-year forecast for its commander. It includes the Dow Chemical Corporation, and Stratfor spies or monitors activists seeking redress over the Bhopal tragedy, which killed thousands in India some 25 years ago. It includes other activists, corporate clients in the United States that spy on activist organizations, or wish Stratfor to spy on activist organizations. So this information that I have told you just now came out in our press release early this morning. But in this publishing endeavor, where we have pulled together some 25 media organizations and more being announced in the coming days, information is coming out all the time. In fact, at noon, at the beginning of this press conference, we released a new discovery made last night. Stratfor was hired by the Coca-Cola Corporation to monitor and assess PETA activists in relation to the 2009 Vancouver Olympics. In particular, Stratfor's Vice President of Intelligence, the ex-Department of State Diplomatic Security Service officer and agent Fred Burton, offered access to the FBI's classified investigation on PETA operatives. The questions from Coca-Cola were, what is the number of PETA supporters in Canada? How many of these are inclined towards activism? The links between PETA in Canada and PETA in the US or elsewhere? PETA's methodology for planning and executing activism? And the risk of non-PETA hangers-on? The Yes Men and some Bhopal activists who are here today were also monitored by Stratfor, and they will tell you about those experiences. Stratfor has engaged in a number of actions and discussions in relation to WikiLeaks and to me personally. The detail of that will be coming out over the following days, but there are more than 4,000 emails discussing WikiLeaks and our activities. The interconnection between Stratfor and government, Stratfor and the US government, has made that a real issue. This is an organization that does not just collect information, collecting information through bribes, through insiders. It is also an organization that acts on that information to subvert particular groups, including WikiLeaks. When we look at the News of the World scandal, we must see, in relation to private intelligence organizations like Stratfor, that this is small cheese. Stratfor set up an international payment laundering network going through the Bahamas. You can check email ID 1409763. Through Switzerland, and through prepaid credit cards used to pay off its informers in different countries. Stratfor, according to its own internal documentation, spent more than $100,000 a year on such intelligence acquisition-related costs. Some sources are put on monthly retainers. Geronimo, an informant handled by the Vice President of Intelligence, Fred Burton, the former State Department agent, was paid $1,200 per month to be an informant for Stratfor. Another example, and these are all released on on the WikiLeaks website, and more are being released as we speak, a $500 payment on the 15th of December 2011. The accounting number for Stratfor's payment to informants is 52000. The description is cost of sales : intelligence. That particular payoff was handled by Jen Richmond, and the document ID is 1431520. Rather than steal the thunder of our other partners, I will now hand over to them. Is the connection to Lebanon ready?
That was Julian Assange speaking at the WikiLeaks press conference titled The Global Intelligence Files in London, February 27th. This is Radio EcoShock. Leaks of emails from the private intelligence company Stratfor reveal the company spies on activist groups and nonprofits, even charities, helping medical treatment for victims of corporate accidents.
Well, joining us live from Paris now is Jude Finisterre. He's a spokesman for Dow Chemicals, which took over Union Carbide. Good morning to you. A day of commemoration in Bhopal. Do you now accept responsibility for what happened?
Steve, yes. Today is a great day for all of us at Dow, and I think for millions of people around the world as well. It's 20 years since the disaster, and today I'm very, very happy to announce that for the first time, Dow is accepting full responsibility for the Bhopal catastrophe. We have a $12 billion plan to finally, at long last, fully compensate the victims, including the 120,000 who may need medical care for their entire lives, and to fully and swiftly remediate the Bhopal plant site. Now, when we acquired Union Carbide 3 years ago, we knew what we were getting, and it's worth $12 billion. $12 billion. We have resolved to liquidate Union Carbide, this nightmare for the world and this headache for Dow, and use the $12 billion to provide more than $500 per victim, which is all that they've seen.
Yes, the world has longed to hear that Dow Chemical has done the right thing. Unfortunately, the BBC was taken in yet again by the Yes Men, the media activist group. Stratfor was called in to investigate them. From the WikiLeaks press conference, here is Mike Bonanno of the media activists, the Yes Men.
We're going to move on to Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men, who has also, I understand, got some of the Bhopal activists here as well.
Yes. When we heard that we were being monitored by an intelligence agency, it wasn't that big a surprise. One always sort of suspects that the government might be listening to you, especially in the United States. We grew up in the Cold War. What one doesn't expect is that it's not the government listening to you. It's a network of unaccountable private corporations, and their only set of standards is their bottom line. And there's incredible documents in the emails that we were looking at last night that reveal that they really do stop at nothing if it's profitable. And if one of the more entertaining documents is a glossary of intelligence terms. And in that glossary of intelligence terms, many of the terms are followed by statements on what might or might not be profitable. And they talk about basically cooking the books, improving information, making it sound better to clients, simply so that they can make money. So we're not necessarily talking about good intelligence, we're talking about a lot of intelligence, because more intelligence means more money. That doesn't mean that it's smart. And among the things I consider not smart are spying on victims of the Bhopal catastrophe. Dow Chemical, of course, is concerned. They're concerned about their reputation, rightfully so. They caused the largest industrial accident in history, and they didn't clean up the mess in Bhopal. So now there are two generations of victims. The first generation of victims were the gas victims. The second generation of victims were victims of water contamination from the plant site that they abandoned with all the chemicals still in place. One of those victims is here today. Farah Edwards Khan is here, and there's four activists from the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal here today. That's why there wasn't room on the stage for them. But I'm going to cede my seat to one of them shortly. And Colin Toogood is also here. He's from the Bhopal Medical Appeal, so he's partially in charge of trying to get the victims aid money for their primary activity, which is called the Sambhavna Trust. It is a hospital for the victims of the gas catastrophe. And then Indra Sinha, who also started the Bhopal Medical Appeal and the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal, he's a Booker-listed prize-winning author of a book called Animals, People, which was about the Bhopal catastrophe. So in short, I think that, you know, the Yes Men, we were targeted because we had impersonated Dow Chemical in the past in order to make a mockery of the way they hadn't cleaned up the mess in Bhopal. And reading the intelligence, it's kind of comic. I mean, sometimes they, sometimes they're really looking at details. They did things like subscribe to our email list. They, you know, monitored where we were going to be. There's a tremendous amount of information about things like what speech we were giving at what college or what university. There's no information on whether there was somebody there to listen to it, but the point was to get Dow some data that so that Dow could decide how they wanted to monitor us. In terms of the Bhopal activists, I think there's some really interesting things about the way they're monitoring. Some of it's comic, again, and since we make films that are mainly comedy, these always stick out for me. For example, they monitored in 393642, in case anybody wants to look this up. I don't think you will, but they monitored somebody called UK activist Ian Jarvis. They were reading his blog. UK activist Ian Jarvis posted a new item to his blog reporting on his stay at the Sambhavna Clinic. That's the health clinic I mentioned. The post was solely about the workings of the clinic's environmentally friendly clothes washer. So, I mean, this gives you the a sense of the kind of detail that they were reporting to Dow. Even when they considered it not useful information, they still reported it. Now, on the other hand, stuff that was a little bit more useful gets more interesting. Rachna Dhingra, who is an activist in Bhopal, emailed the ICJB, that's the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal's distribution list, with an item that has nothing to do with the Bhopal issue. She passed along a post from a left-wing U.S. blog discussing a U.S. Chamber of Commerce letter to Cass Sunstein, administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, telling him to block the regulation of extremely dangerous chemicals in consumer plastics, i.e. phthalates and the BPA. Dow is mentioned at the end of the post, along with P&G, as having contributed millions to the chamber's war chest in recent years. Now, the reason that I find this one interesting is that this points out what they're interested in. And this is the relationship between governments, between these corporations, and between regulatory agencies. They obviously want to have an effect. They want to allow things like phthalates to keep being distributed unregulated in the U.S. And so I think that there are some revealing details. And as a final note, I just find it shocking that they would consider themselves to be a journalistic organization, or that they would portray themselves that way. And Stratfor's release this morning to counter the WikiLeaks release, you know, they end by saying, "We want to assure everyone that Stratfor is committed to recovering from a hack and rebuilding trust with the public, and will continue to do what we do best, produce and publish industry-leading analysis of international affairs." And I ask Stratfor, you know, when they're reading emails that we send to our mailing list, is that really publishing industry-leading analysis of international affairs? I don't think so. I think it has nothing to do with that. And I think we're frustrated, angry, and we'd like to see these intelligence agencies regulated.
That was Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men at yesmen.org. You are listening to Radio EcoShock Highlights, lately edited for radio, from the WikiLeaks press conference in London, February 27th. Many corporate and government relationships became clear that day. Stratfor claims publicly to be a media group, although you and I never read their publications, unless we can pay thousands of dollars for their newsletter. Inside their own emails, however, the top executives make clear their roots as a private spy agency vying for global supremacy. Now a short clip from Stefania from the Italian news magazine L'Espresso.
So good morning, my name is Stefania. I'm working for the Italian news magazine L'Espresso, and I want to just give you a picture about this material. So when I got access to this database, at the beginning I thought, well, it is rather dull, but when I started searching, I realized that if you go deep in this database, you can find very interesting information, like that one you can find in a secure list. The secure list is a list where there are the most sensitive information, information that normally are not to be published. It's not, you can read this information, this kind of insights, in the bulletin published by the Stratfor. It is just internal information. In some of these emails in the secure list, you can understand that Stratfor got access to material about the seized in the Osama bin Laden safe house. You can understand that they have top-level sources in the FBI mentioning information, telling them information about Julian, about his case. You can realize that these people have information about a drone attack 5 months before their actual attack on a terrorist. And I want to, some of the story are like a thriller, like, for example, when they, there is an email in the secure list mentioning the case of a former federal judge, Sam Kent. Sam Kent is the first federal judge found guilty of serious crime in the U.S. And this judge tells the story, linking his story to the fact that he ruled a heavy case against Halliburton. This is, information is not for publication, is in the secure list. And this list is indeed very sensitive. And this list makes you realize that Stratfor is not only a media organization like they are trying to frame themselves. I mean, we don't have clients. In this list, they put all the information for clients or sensitive information for clients. We are a media organization. We have readers. We have not clients. We don't gather material about monitoring movements like Yes Men, like movements.org, which is another organization monitored. We don't have clients. We don't. We have just readers.
That was a small part of the analysis by the Italian media partner with WikiLeaks, L'Espresso, regarding the millions of emails from the servers of the global intelligence company Stratfor. Carlos Enrico Bayo of the former Spanish newspaper Publico, now published as web-only, is next.
We're now moving to Carlos Enrique Bayo of Publico in Spain.
Hello, good morning. Well, really, it's been exciting. I'm Carlos Enrique Bayo of Publico, Spain. It's been exciting to work with these materials because although it's very difficult to dig in, as he has just said, we have been struck by the fact that most of the money that came into Stratfor was from public sources, because most of the customers are government offices, agencies, ministries, the military, etc. So it's public money. What Stratfor receives from many subscriptions for its services and analysis. Public money from many countries, and especially European nations that funds and gives huge profits to a private company that acts as a shadow CIA and basically protects US and US companies' interests around the world. Public money used for the benefit of American individuals using dirty tricks in espionage, and that is not journalism, used without the knowledge of the citizens and, well, the taxpayers of these countries. Moreover, many of those institutional customers became, in fact, assets of Stratfor, giving the company's analysts confidential, reserved, privileged information on the governments or agencies or institutions' interests and activities. Their feedback to Stratfor's analysts give them the insiders' materials and information later this same company uses and sells to other clients, as they call them. So our public institutions are not only financing the shadow CIA, but also giving for free the very source of the wealth. Finally, the way they work, it's very revealing that they are not a media company. They are not journalists. The field agent's instructions given by the founder and owner of Stratfor, Mr. Friedman, stress that those spies have to use any means, including sexual relations, to, as he says, take control of the sources. He means informants, of course, not sources. So the undercover agents are using psychological methods to take control of the people who are informants. It's hardly a coincidence. I believe that the only means the U.S. has found to extradite Mr. Assange out of Britain is an accusation of improper sexual relations. And that kind of instructions given by someone with close links to the American Secret Services must indeed be standard operation material for American spies all over the world, we guess. Well, our main story today, as we are a news media company in Spain, was about the fact that Stratford senior analysts are surprised of the extreme hardline positions of former Prime Minister, Spanish Prime Minister José María Aznar, one of the three knights of the war in Iraq with Blair and Bush. In matters of counterterrorism, they found him even more hardcore, quote-unquote, that was the word they use, than the Israelis, which they thought very hardline, of course. That's shocking enough, as it came from an intelligence company closely related with the neocon ideologists, like Karl Rove, who is a very close friend to Friedman, that pushed forward the war on terror, where they, well, we could document, as journalists, torture, and renditions and many other violations of human rights in Guantanamo, Bagram Air Base, and many other places. So we have the knowledge that this is not a media company. This is an intelligence agency where the espionage has been privatized. It's like another privatization of a public service, in this case a secret service, which has been privatized for the benefit, for the enrichment, to make wealth for individuals. That is not journalism and will never be. Thank you.
This is Radio Ecoshock covering the WikiLeaks press conference in London, February 27th, 2012. You just heard Carlos Enrique Bao from the Publico in Spain. We will now hear from three activists helping victims of the 1984 and ongoing Bhopal chemical disaster in India, as introduced by Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men.
I do want to bring them on. I just want to mention one more thing. You were talking about how they're receiving, you know, money is coming in from the client, and then they're selling information on to other clients. But at the same time, that wasn't enough for them. There is documentation of them setting up their own, basically their own hedge fund to trade on information that they were getting. Among the millions of leaked emails are some that reveal dubious financial practices, including an apparent insider trading scheme with Goldman Sachs managing director Shay Morantz, who joined Stratfor's board of directors and invested substantially more than $4 million in a scheme called StratCap. And this is a quote, "What StratCap will do is use our Stratfor's intelligence and analysis to trade in a range of geopolitical instruments," wrote Stratfor's CEO George Friedman. StratCap was designed through a complex offshore share trade structure to appear legally independent, but Friedman in these documents assures his top staff that to do not think of StratCap as an outside organization. It will be integral. It will be useful to you. We are already working on mock portfolios and trades. This StratCap fund was to launch very soon in 2012.
That was Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men, a media activist group spied on by the private American intelligence agency Stratfor. Next up, when Radio EcoShock returns, UK charities providing medical aid to Bhopal victims were also targeted by Stratfor and the Dow Chemical Company.